Star Wars, The Last Command by Timothy Zahn, concluded. Cassette number 13, side 2. Straining toward Mara and toward Kabalf. A wild Vornsker had nearly killed Mara during their trek through the Mirker forest. It seemed only fitting somehow for these two to help save her. The lightsaber stirred under Luke's call, igniting as his mind found the control. It rolled off the rock pile, the brilliant green blade throwing sparks from the stones as it bounced across them. Luke strained, and the weapon lifted into the air and flew toward him. And as it reached the ruined catwalk, he let the blade dip to slice neatly through the Vornsker's leashes. Kabalth saw them coming, of course. His back nearly to the throne room wall now, he shifted his aim, sending a burst of lightning toward the charging predators as they came up over the stairway. One of them howled and fell to the floor, skidding across the scattered stones. The other staggered, but kept coming. The distraction was all the opening Mara needed. She leaped forward against the rocks, still pummeling against her face, covering the last remaining distance between her and Kabalth. And as he brought his hands desperately back toward her, she dropped onto her knees in front of him and stabbed viciously upward with her lightsaber. With a last mournful scream, Kabalth crumpled. And, as it had with the Emperor aboard the Death Star, the dark side energy within him burst out in a violent explosion of blue fire. Luke was ready. Throwing every last bit of strength into the effort, he caught Mara in a solid force grip, pulling her back away from that burst of energy as fast as he could. He felt the wave front slam into him, felt the slight easing of stress as Leia's strength joined his effort. And then, suddenly, it was all over. For a long minute, he lay still, gasping for air, fighting against the unconsciousness threatening to roll over him. Dimly, he felt the stones being pushed away from around him. "Are you all right, Luke?" Leia asked. He forced open his eyes. Dust-covered and bruised, she didn't look much better than he felt. "I'm fine," he told her, pushing against the remaining stones and getting his feet under him. "How about the others?" "They're not too bad," she said, catching his arm to help steady him. "But Han's going to need medical treatment. He's got some bad burns."
"So does Mara," Carda said grimly, coming up the steps, holding an unconscious Mara in his arms. "We have to get her to the wild, Carda, as quickly as possible."
"So give them a call," Han said. He was kneeling over the dead Luke clone, gazing down at him. "Tell them to come pick us up."
"Pick us up where?" Carda frowned.
Han pointed toward the spot where Kabalth had died. "Right there." Luke turned and looked. The massive detonation of dark side energy had made a shambles of that end of the throne room. The walls and ceiling were blackened and cratered. The metal of the floor where Kabalth had stood was buckled and half-melted. The throne itself had been ripped away and was lying smoldering a meter from its base. And behind it, through a jagged crack in the rear wall, he could see the bright twinkle of a single star. "Right," Luke said, taking a deep breath. "Leia?"
"I see it," she nodded, handing him his lightsaber and igniting hers. "Let's get busy."
The two rebel assault frigates broke to either side of the beleaguered Golan II, delivering massive broadsides as they veered off. A section of the battle station flared and went dark, and against its darkened bulk, another wave of rebel starfighters could be seen slipping past into the shipyards beyond. And Pelion was no longer smiling.
"Don't panic, Captain," Thrawn said. But he too was starting to sound grim. "We're not defeated yet, not by a long shot."
Pelion's board pinged. He looked at it.
Sir, we have a priority message coming in from Wayland, he told Thrawn, his stomach twisting with a sudden, horrible premonition.
Wayland, the cloning facility.
Read it, Captain, Thrawn said, his voice deadly quiet.
Decrypt is coming in now, sir, Pelion said, tapping the board impatiently as the message slowly began to come up. It was exactly as he'd feared.
The mountain is under attack, sir, he told Thrawn. Two different forces of natives, plus some rebel saboteurs.
He broke off, frowning in disbelief.
And a group of Nogri.
He never got to read any more of the report. Abruptly, a gray-skinned hand slashed out of nowhere, catching him across the throat. He gagged, falling limply in his chair, his whole body instantly paralyzed.
For the treachery of the Empire against the Nogri people,
Rook's voice said quietly from beside him as he gasped for breath.
We were betrayed. We have been revenged.
There was a whisper of movement, and he was gone. Still gasping, struggling against the inertia of his stunned muscles, Pelion fought to get a hand up to his command board. With one final effort, he made it, trying twice before he was able to hit the emergency alert. And as the wailing of the alarm cut through the noise of a Star Destroyer at battle, he finally managed to turn his head. Thrawn was sitting upright in his chair, his face strangely calm. In the middle of his chest, a dark red stain was spreading across the spotless white of his Grand Admiral's uniform. Glittering in the center of the stain was the tip of Rook's assassin's knife. Thrawn caught his eye, and to Pelion's astonishment, the Grand Admiral smiled.
But, he whispered, it was so artistically done.
The smile faded. The glow in his eyes did likewise. And Thrawn, the last Grand Admiral, was gone. Captain Pelion, the comm officer called urgently as the medic team arrived, too late, to the Grand Admiral's chair. The Nemesis and Stormhawk are requesting orders. What shall I tell them? Pelion looked up at the viewports, at the chaos that had erupted behind the defenses of the supposedly secure shipyards, at the unexpected need to split his forces to its defense, at the rebel fleet taking full advantage of the diversion. In the blink of an eye, the universe had suddenly turned against them. Thrawn could still have pulled an Imperial victory out of it, but he, Pelion, was not Thrawn.
Signal to all ships, he rasped.
The words ached in his throat, in a way that had nothing to do with the throbbing pain of Rook's treacherous attack.
Prepare to retreat.
Chapter 29, the last chapter. The sun had set beneath a thin layer of western clouds, and the colors of the evening sky were beginning to fade into the encroaching darkness of Coruscant night. Leaning on the chest-high wrought stone railing at the edge of the palace roof, listening to the breezes whispering by her ears, Mara gazed out at the lights and vehicles of the Imperial city below. Buzzing with activity, there was still something strangely peaceful about it. Or maybe the peace was in her. Either way, it made for a nice change. 20 meters behind her, the door out onto the roof opened. She stretched out with the force, but she knew who it had to be. And she was right. Mara? Luke called softly.
Over here,
she called back, grimacing out at the city below. From his sense, she could tell he was here for her answer. So much for inner peace. Quite a view, isn't it? Luke commented, coming up beside her and gazing out over the city. Must bring back memories for you. She threw him a patient look.
Translation. How am I feeling about the homecoming this time? You know, Skywalker, just between us, you're pretty pathetic when you try to be devious. If I were you, I'd give it up and just stick with that straight-out farm boy honesty.
Sorry, he said. Too much time spent around Han, I guess.
And Carda and me, I suppose.
You want a straight-out farm boy honest answer to that? She threw him a crooked smile.
I'm sorry I even brought it up.
Luke smiled back, then turned serious again. So how are you feeling? Mara looked back out at the lights.
Strange, she told him. It's sort of like coming home, only it isn't. I've never really stood here and just looked at the city like this. The only times I was ever up here were to watch for a certain airspeeder to arrive, or to keep an eye on some particular building or something like that. Business for the Emperor. I don't think he ever saw the Imperial City as people and lights. To him, it was just power and opportunities.
Probably how he saw everything, Luke agreed.
And speaking about opportunities...
Mara grimaced. She'd been right. He was here for her answer.
The whole thing's ridiculous, she said. You know it, and I know it.
Carda doesn't think so.
Carda's even a worse idealist than you are sometimes, she shot back. In the first place, he's never going to be able to hold this smuggler coalition of his together.
Maybe not, Luke said.
But think of the possibilities if he can. There are a lot of contacts and information sources out there in the fringe that the New Republic doesn't have any access to at all. So what do you need information sources for? Mara countered. Thrawn's dead. His cloning center is a shambles, and the Empire's in retreat again. You've won.
We won at Endor, too, Luke pointed out. That didn't stop us from years of so-called mopping-up action. There's still a lot of work yet to be done.
It still doesn't make any sense to put me in the middle of it, Mara argued. If you want a liaison between you and the smugglers... Why don't you get Carda to do it?
Because Carda's a smuggler. You were just a smuggler's assistant. She snorted.
Big difference. To some people it is, Luke said. This whole negotiation process is running as much on appearance and image as it is on reality.
Anyway, Carda's already said he won't do it. Now that those Vornskers of his have recovered... He wants to get back out to his people. Mara shook her head.
I'm not a politician, she insisted. Not a diplomat either. But you're someone both sides are willing to trust, Luke said. That's what's important here.
Mara made a face.
You don't know these people, Skywalker. Trust me. Chewbacca and the guys you're sending out to transplant the Nogri to their new world are going to have a lot more fun.
He touched her hand. You can do it, Mara. I know you can. She sighed.
I have to think about it.
That's all right, he said. Just come on downstairs whenever you're ready.
Sure.
She threw a sideways look at him.
Was there something else?
He smiled. You're getting good at that.
Your fault for teaching me too well. Come on, what is it?
Just this. Reaching into his tunic, he pulled out a lightsaber.
What's this?
Mara asked, frowning.
It's my old lightsaber, Luke told her quietly. The one I lost at Cloud City and nearly got killed with at Wayland. He held it out. I'd like you to have it. She looked up at him, startled.
Me? Why?
He shrugged self-consciously. Lots of reasons. Because you earned it. Because you're on your way to becoming a Jedi, and you'll need it. Mostly, though, because I want you to have it. Slowly, almost reluctantly, she took the weapon.
Thank you.
You're welcome. He touched her hand again. I'll be in the conference room with the others. Come on down when you've decided. He turned and walked away across the palace roof. Mara turned to gaze out at the lights of the city again, the cool metal of the lightsaber pressed against her hand. Luke's lightsaber. Probably one of his last links to the past, and he was giving it away. Was there a message in that for her? Probably. Like she'd said, subtlety wasn't one of Luke's strong points. But if that was why he'd done it, he'd been wasting his time. Her last link with the past had been broken in the Mount Tantus throne room. Her past was over. It was time to get on with the future. And the New Republic was that future, whether she liked it or not. Behind her, she heard Luke open the roof door.
Hang on a minute, she called after him. I'll come with you.
This concludes the reading of Star Wars, The Last Command by Timothy Zahn. This book was read by Larry A. McKeever.